This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, it's been a strange week for all things Mansfield Town. After a 0-0 draw in midweek at home to Carlisle United, the Stags now hit the road again to take on Gillingham tomorrow afternoon. We haven't had time to do a regular podcast, but we thought we'd find 5-10 minutes in our day during our lunch hours to come together, have a little bit of a chat and bring you guys some content, because we know you guys so desperately want it and so desperately need it to get you through your working day. So who's joining me to talk all things Mansfield Town? Well, it's the last person you'd probably expect to be joining me during a day when they should be studying. Hello, Cam.
Good afternoon, morning, whatever time. Morning.
It doesn't matter no. Because that's the beauty of a podcast. People can be listening to this in the morning, at night, in the afternoon, or whilst they're... Let's not even go there. Let's definitely not go there. How are you? Are you okay?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good, yeah.
Jolly good. I'm all right too. Thanks for asking. Appreciate that.
No worries.
Right, let's delve into it. Obviously, three things to talk about today on the agenda. We'll start with item one. Mansfield 0, Carlisle United 0. I think really if we sort of refresh our memories back to last season, and whenever there's a break, we always struggle to get going again. And I think given the circumstances this week as well, with everything that's happened in the wider world, it was always going to be difficult to actually get ourselves motivated and going, in a sense. I'll come on to why in a little bit, but first, performance on the pitch. Goalless draw, should have been a 1-0 win though.
Yeah, well, say we had the chances, and you think Lady Luck was very much on our side on Tuesday night, because they missed four absolute sitters. Funny that Christian Dennis still couldn't score against Mansfield. I don't think he's ever scored against Mansfield, regardless of whether he's played for Chesterfield or Notts County. I don't think he's ever scored. But it was just one of them nights where the ball just wouldn't go in. And then it's these sort of games where you need to take your opportunities. We had two or three good chances where we could have scored, and even more frustrating looking back at the highlights and seeing that George Lapsley's offside goal wasn't actually offside. But it's one of them things, you can't just take it on the chin. You go into next week, at least it's not a loss. I don't think it was the only 0-0 draw across the EFL on Tuesday night, regardless of division, and it's a point. You can't complain at that. We could be sat here berating the team because they didn't bother to turn up, and we could have 5-0, whatever. But it was a bad performance, and any old point is a good point. Last season, how important points were to pick up at this part of the season, especially when we couldn't get a win or anything, you think, 12 months ago.
Yeah, I think as frustrating as it is coming off the back of a good performance away at Doncaster, I think I'd have happily snapped your hand off for a goalless draw before, because home form is critical to any promotion chase inside. And, you know, we've not conceded a goal. All right, we've not scored, but we've kept what are actually at the moment, Carlisle, a very good team at bay. We've prevented them from scoring, and actually it's given us a base to go on. We've not lost a game. We're unbeaten, and we carry the momentum into Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, we do, and especially when we're not particularly travelling well, I think we need to keep that confidence going. And yes, it'll have been 2 weeks since we did play Doncaster, but you think that determined performance, there's no reason why we can't play that sort of football against anybody else. Because I think Doncaster were, to say where they are in the league, they were quite a poor side. But then on the flip side, you look at Carlisle, the mid-table, yes, they've won two, drawn five now, but they've only lost once. So it just shows the sort of sides that we're going up against. And it's frustrating that we did lose the Bradford game, because it would have been a fantastic contest. It'd have been near enough a sellout. And considering the type of form that both sides are on, it would have been a good game. But it gave us that extra bit of time for recovery. Obviously, Cluffy said the players had the weekend off. It only felt right to do that back in on the Monday. But yes, it sort of knocks us off a stride in the such that we've not been able to win again at home, but it's not unsettled as too much that we've then gone and lost, which is what we would have done last season after a break.
Yeah, certainly. That's a positive to draw upon, actually, the fact that last year when we did have breaks, and certainly the year before that, we really did struggle to get going. So the fact that, you know, it's a goalless draw, you know, we didn't play great. Neither side really played great. It was a bit of a drab performance on both accounts, but you know, we didn't lose, and that's the important thing. So we have got that little bit of a springboard. You talk about how, you know, people having a weekend off and things like that. Wasn't a great weekend for Kel Gordon, though, was it? Did you see what happened on his social media?
Don't go to London.
I know. Well, don't go to London and drive your own car. I can't believe it. Of all the things that a thief thinks to nick in a car like that, I know what I'll do. I'll grab his Mansfield Town tracksuit. And he would have got fined for that as well by the club. Sure, because he's lost his training wear. So, you know, what was it doing in the back of his car? So,
yeah, technically, yes. But I think that I'd like to think that Clough would take a bit of sympathy on him, to be honest. But
you'd be very, very annoyed, wouldn't you, if that happened to you? Obviously, you know, I don't want to get too royalist or political or anything on here. The only thing I would obviously have perhaps changed about Tuesday is, imagine being a professional sports person. Sometimes music is motivation. And they obviously had to play respectful music. I would have rather they played no music at all before the game, because trying to get yourself, you know, up and ready. Imagine going to the gym and doing a workout with Land of Hope and Glory playing and a really soft, slow brass band mix in your ears. Obviously, you know, we send our deepest sympathies and everything, and it's been a real couple of weeks where everyone's shown sympathy and things like that. But I don't know, just turn the music off. Just do it in that way. I don't know. Imagine trying to run to that. You can't really get yourself going, can you?
No, I can't imagine the players' music in the dressing room would have been anything like that. No. What they'd usually listen to anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
From walking in Memphis one season to Land of Hope and Glory in the other, I think the mentality of Tuesday was just a somber one. I think it was always going to be difficult, but I think the crowd still reacted when we actually got going, and fair play to everybody that did the minute silence. Other than one random phone ringing, I don't think I particularly heard anything. And
no, me neither.
The national anthem sounded brilliant, and then everyone did as the club wished, and we had that moment of respect, and then it was just like a normal match day. As soon as that whistle went, it was just straight back on it. I think it was always going to be a difficult game, but I think when you've got chances after chance, and you just can't put one away, the crowd's always going to get on your back. And I was actually listening back to over the last few days, just not really much to do during the day because I've not started uni again. Just been listening to previous matches. I think I remember watching the Wimbledon game. Yeah. And before they And their commentators were saying, like, the Mansfield fans really get on the players' backs. And I think as much as that's a negative, I think that can be a positive as well as to why we've been so good at home. So I think the players up their game more. And I think as a professional, you should be up in your game regardless of where you're playing. But it just seems that we're a home team, and we lost against Sutton towards the end of last season over Easter weekend. But other than that, we've not lost at home since October, September last year.
I think that one defeat in something like 22, 23 games now. The exact stats I don't have at hand, but it's going to be something like that. And I actually disagree with what the Wimbledon commentators say, because it might sound like we're getting on the backs, but actually I don't think we do at home anymore. I think we might have a little frustration or whatever, but it generally turns quite quickly into singing an atmosphere. And I think that was a difficult thing on Tuesday night, trying to get that balance right between being a respectful crowd to the situation that the nation finds itself in and trying to generate atmosphere. And that wasn't then helped by periods of the game. In particular, we had a really good, strong spell. We had the shot, I think, from Macca, which then broke the net, which then meant there was a break in play for a good 6-7 minutes. And after that, we just could not get going, crowd nor players. And I think, actually, that's probably where the line was drew in terms of it's going to be a goalless draw. It's going to be that goalless draw where you won't look back on it and you just think, meh, a point's a point. Let's all go home.
Yeah, especially when Carlisle missed two or three chances from open goals from pretty much bang in front of the goal. You've got to think we've rode us luck a little bit, but it's a point in the right direction. I think we'd have been very frustrated had we have lost that game, because I don't think either side deserved to lose that game. I think Carlisle was very good. They kept their high tempo to match ours. I think when we've played at home this season, and that same again with a couple of away days this season, we've tried to get that high tempo and overpower teams, and it's only worked once away from home this season. That was Doncaster. The only other times that high tempo and high intensity football has worked is when we've been at home, and it's been very dangerous, and no more so than the Stockport game. I think it just showed that yes, we were pushing, but then we go one behind, and then we hit back straight away, and then we then get the go ahead goal straight after that. So having that intensity is brilliant, but it just seemed completely lost on Saturday. And I think that's probably maybe the legs being a little bit rusty. I don't know whether rusty is the right word or not, because it's only a week and a bit since we played, but a week and a bit is a long time in football.
Especially when you've had that high intensity and sort of the adrenaline which comes off the back of the Doncaster game as well. And then you have the disappointment of, you know, it's obviously completely out of our hands. Everybody will have their different opinions on it. We won't agree on it, me and you, because you think it should have been off. I don't at all think it should have been off, because every other sport took place. But you can't change it. It is what it is. You know, it's gone. You can't change it now. But it's just one of those things, isn't it? And you move on quite quickly. And talking of moving on quite quickly, we haven't got a lot of time, so I'm going to move on to item two in the agenda. And I'm going to kick it off by playing this.
Now Nathan's favourite player is Stags captain Ollie Clark. He loves to shout his name out when he comes out on the park. He's absolutely over the moon to hear Stags' latest news. He loves our number 8 when he wears the amber and blues. But it's not always been like that, as you can appreciate. Nathan said some nasty things about his brand new mate, Cliff Tops. We mentioned on Mansfield Matters show last week, but now Nathan's backtracking, saying it was only tongue-in-cheek.
Alan Wilson, what a guy there. So, Ollie Clark, of course, signed a new contract till the end of the 2024 season. I put in the chat at 8:25 last night, Alan Wilson, can we have a ditty about Clark and Nathan, please? Alan then put, leave it with me, mate. And at what, half an hour later, 18:57, Alan sends that through. What a, it just, his what talents. Yeah, what a man. His talents meet no bounds. And talking of talent, Nathan won't agree, but Ollie Clark, delighted to see him secure an extra year. If anything, it will just stop every transfer window. Every time there's a rumour of a player leaving, everyone going, well, Ollie Clark's going then.
Well, during the summer one, and what was the rumour that Clark? It was like Clark was going on a player swap with James Wilson from Port Vale.
Yeah,
that is the most bizarre. It's bizarre. It's strange, but especially because Wilson was injured at the time.
Yeah,
I don't. But all very unexpected.
Yeah, it's a strange one because people on the outside might see that Nigel Clough doesn't potentially fancy Ollie Clark. I don't think he fancies him as a captain, and he just obviously sticks with him because he was captain before he arrived and things like that. But I actually think he does fancy him as a midfielder, and he does add something to him. And I think, like Clark said in his interview on I Follow Stags, he has had a point to prove this season. And I think when he's played, 99% of the time, he has done it. And I actually can't, at the minute, sort of say that one player or another should be ahead of him. I actually think he quite suits the way we play at the moment and the system that we do play. I think Hiram Boateng, when he's back fit and firing, I think he might find it quite difficult to get back in because Hartigan's sort of come in and got his place. The one at the minute whose sort of position is perhaps under question would probably be Maris, even though he's performing quite well. And then, you know, you've got Lapsley who's almost doing a job as an extra striker. So I actually think Ollie Clark's form does potentially warrant his extended deal.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one because I was saying to the lads that I sit with up in El Upper, and we were saying we don't necessarily think Clark is favoured by Clark by Clough or not favoured by Clough or whatever. We think it's a mentality thing, and obviously, keeping the captaincy with him when he plays is part of that, and showing like making sure that he's got a bit of responsibility and something that's not to keep his like mind fixed on, but actually just something to work towards to make sure he keeps it. And I think dropping him from games, I think firstly it's bizarre. I don't know why you'd drop him for Sutton after having a brilliant game against Stockport. That just doesn't make sense. But you think about it, it's just that motivational thing. Maybe it's just that. I think, obviously, he's still got a point to prove. He spent a lot of the previous campaign injured, especially towards the end. He wasn't quite fully fit. We've brought bodies in since then. And especially when Hartigan has come in, he's been a fantastic player, and we've seen that Boateng's a good player as well, but we've not obviously not seen him for a while because he's injured. But once he comes back in, he's going to be a good player to add to that midfield. Then you've also got to think of Jason Law, because Clough seems to rate Jason Law.
Yeah, very much so.
And you've got to think he's not that far off, you'd like to think. He's only maybe a couple of weeks now. Because when Clough was talking about the January transfer window, he was on about, no, I don't want to add midfielders, this, that and the other, because we've got such and such and such and such. And then Jason Law coming back in a few months. Obviously, that was over a month, nearly a month ago now. So he can't be that far off. So, and then obviously adds Hartigan in there as well. So you've got a lot of players vying for 3, maybe 4 places in the squad. So the competition's high. And I think dropping Clark every so often is kind of just trying to keep him motivated and keep him going in the right direction. And I'm not saying that Clark will get distracted or disheartened or whatever. I just think it's like keeping that fire going and just making sure that he's on it from minute one every game that he actually plays in. And then whenever he comes off the bench in the plays that he's been dropped in.
And a lot of people might not sort of realise as well, he's actually one of our most experienced players. He's 30 years old, you know, he's a good club man, he's a loyal man. I think that says a lot. And it's actually really good as well to hear in his interview that he feels settled in the area now. We've spoken about this so many times with players not being settled. He uprooted his entire life from Bristol, leaving, you know, family behind, things like that. He's managed to find himself a partner now up here, got himself a house and settled. He'll be a player that, you know, will probably be here beyond 2024 and until he retires. And, you know, I think it's actually good to have that loyalty in football, because I think it goes hand in hand with the ethos which everybody associated at Mansfield Town Football Club are trying to impact on the club.
Yeah, it is. I think you look at some players, you think they're going to be absolutely brilliant. As I can remember when we bought Callum Butcher in, you're thinking, oh, he's going to be a real talent. And he was. And he put his heart and soul into every game that he played. And he was a really, really good player. And then next thing you know, poof, gone. And it's all because he just couldn't settle. He had to move his family up here. And then it was a bizarre situation with him. He said he couldn't settle up here. So what does he do? Moves to Scotland.
He's now back in this area as well, isn't he? I think he's was he not at Burton?
Yeah, he's at Burton. Yeah, he's at Burton.
Strange.
But you can see the mentality that it can have on a player having to move so far. And I think one of the only players that I can think of that settled quicker than most is probably someone like Farron Grawson, and Kellen Gordon, only by the virtue that they've been able to move back to roughly where their families are. Obviously, Kellen's from Nottingham, Derby sort of way, because he came through Derby's academy. Faz Rawson came through Derby's academy, but originally from Nottingham.
And they've been playing League One football, by the way? That's a joke. Anyway.
No idea. But the players have been able to settle a lot quicker, and then you even think to the last season, you think Jamie Murphy whilst he put in some good performances, it wasn't always there, because I think maybe his mentality wasn't quite there. So
with Murphy, he had what, 4 young kids, and he's travelling from Scotland once, twice, so he's living away from home. It's quite interesting. I watched Ben Foster's Cycling GK podcast this morning. He had an offer from Newcastle to go and train as their second or third keeper, and decided to retire instead of taking the money, because you've got to move away from family. People don't realise that. And I think, you know, without going off too much on a tangent, actually, Ollie Clark has defied that and actually taken that hard decision, got his head down. Don't forget, he moved up during a pandemic as well, and he's seen lots of changes at the club. And, you know, when you do see changes at the club like we've seen in the last couple of seasons, players like Clark are usually one of the first out the door. So the fact that he stayed and got through his injury and is making a real impact now actually shows what his ability is like on the training ground and what his attitude is like as well in and around the dressing room.
Yeah, I think he was living. Was he living with Tyrese Sinclair before?
Might have been, yeah.
Might have been, but it's good that a player's actually come out and said like they've been able to settle so well, because I think regardless of whether a player settled or not, it's not something that you can positively talk about, like actually saying something. Usually it would just be the old PR, oh yeah, move really suits me, this, that and the other. And then you talk to him a few weeks later and you think, oh yeah, settled really well in this area, blah blah blah. And usually it's not the case. I think a lot of footballers can be guilty to what their agents or the staff can be telling them to do, because that's what the fans of the team want them to hear. And I don't always think that's a good thing, but it seems that Clark has actually settled in, and just his mentality has been in the right place. Firstly, for him, because obviously he's been able to find a partner and settle with her and get a new place with them. But then just being able to crack on the pitch, because he was a good player for us during the pandemic season. He maybe lost his way a little bit last season, but then this
season, with the injury,
he was just not 100% right. But then this season, absolutely on fire. Brilliant. New player, completely.
Yeah, let's finally turn our attention then to tomorrow's opponents, Gillingham. Just the one win all season, that coming at home. They've really struggled with life in League Two early doors. A lot of people tipped them to bounce back, but since their relegation last season, life in League Two hasn't been the greatest to start. But we've, from our perspective, we've now got to go that reverse mentality again. We said for weeks that we needed the big crowd to really, really kick in and help away from home. We had that at Doncaster with over 2,000 fans there. There's not going to be 2,000 travelling down to Gillingham tomorrow. The boys have really got to kick on and find that performance. Might struggle to get 200, to be honest.
I mean, it's not a great place to go, and I hope and pray that it doesn't rain for your sake, because otherwise that's a very wet journey home.
Is it not undercover?
No.
Oh, fuck this, I'm not going. I'm watching it, and I'll listen to BBC Radio, not Craig and Lee. I'm not bothering. I'm not going. I've had enough. I'm retiring from being a Mansfield Town fan. I'm out.
Have you never seen Gillingham's away end?
I have, but not. I didn't realise it didn't have a roof.
No.
Shocking. Right, on that annoying note, it's.
Oh, hang on.
Ah, do one. Is that behind the goal or down the side?
Behind the goal.
Oh no, that's not the away end then.
No, it is.
No. The tickets that on the Gillingham website, mate, aren't for behind the.
Oh, the they're not giving you behind the goal.
No, it's the side stand. We are.
Oh,
in
you're lucky then.
Yeah, we are in whatever stand it is, but it's in the side. There was two blocks at the side.
Ooh,
side of the
lucky.
Pitch. So, yeah, I would not have been happy. You nearly ruined my day then, you dickhead.
No, that
right.
is that is usually the away end, and that's where they'd stick everybody, but I presume it's because they're not expecting many Mansfield fans to come.
Very, very true. I don't think many will either. Right, let's end on podcast predictions. We've not got a massive amount of time to sit and talk about Gillingham because it's lunchtime. I want to get some food and I've got loads of work to do this afternoon. So let's crack on. Podcast predictions. What are you going with tomorrow away at Gillingham?
2-1 win. I call the 19th minute.
19th minute. I'll go for a clean sheet away from home. I think we might turn on the style a little bit. And you know what? I'm going to be brave and say 4-0 win away from home. And I'm going to go with the 22nd minute for our goal. We'll put Nathan's, Clive's and Alan's on our social media if we get them before the end of today. If you want to play along with podcast predictions, the link is in the description. See our social media as well for further details. You must enter 1 hour and 1 minute before kickoff, and you must enter via the link. Comments on social media via DM or any other method, carrier pigeon or whatever, will not be counted. Right, that's all we've got time for. Cam, what are you hoping for from Gillingham away tomorrow? I'm hoping for two things. One, back to normal music, please, for the warm-up. If I have to listen to London, Hope and Glory on loop again, I think I might kill somebody. And two, for a decent performance from us where we actually put the ball in the back of the bloody net?
3 points, obviously. It's an important thing. I think if they're on such a bad run of form, we just need to take advantage of that, especially when we're not exactly on the best run of form away from home. Obviously, the win against Doncaster is great, but we need that sustained run away from home and we can take some confidence from it. But I think a good performance as well, similar to what Doncaster's was. I think the high intensity and high energy football, it is good. It works well for the players that we've got. And I just think just putting that good performance in, it'll just hopefully lift the players, because I think we looked a little bit flat maybe on Tuesday night. And I just think that getting that out of their system and then just starting fresh. Because you think, over the weekend, they trained, didn't have a game, and then trained again. So it's like all that intensity and all that mentality that they built up going into the Bradford game was just completely lost, and then it wasn't regained for Carlisle. So obviously we've had a good, solid week of training again now. And I think the players will react to that and hopefully put in what we've come to know is a good Mansfield performance. And 3 points is all we ask. 3 points and a good performance is all we want. It's a long way.
And no Land of Hope and Glory, that's all we ask as well. The views there of Cam Felton, thanks very much to him for joining us on this little lunchtime chinwag. We're back with a normal podcast. It will probably be Sunday because we try and squeeze one in between the Gillingham game and, of course, the trip to grim old Grimsby in the Pizza Cup. So yeah, make sure you join us for that. Follow us on all social media for all the details. Other than that, all that's left to say is one word: goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.